This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good Friday morning to you. 68 degrees outside under clear skies at 7:06. Feels really nice out there this morning for a change. It's really nice being able to go outside in the morning and not immediately sizzling. 68 degrees outside. It's Friday, September 11th, 2026. It's the 25th anniversary of the World Trade Center attacks, and we certainly want to hear from you on that. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Where were you on September 11th? I remember I was at Ground Zero on September 11th. I actually was working for a station in New York at the time. I was in Midtown working on a different story when the first plane hit. I immediately called my news director and said, hey, do you want me to head down and cover it? And he said, no. He says the national news is covering it pretty well right now. It looks like an accident. Just kind of stay where you are, stay the course, and we'll be covering it through national news throughout the day. And then a little while later, the second plane hit the Trade Center, and I called my boss back. I said, hey, I'm going down. He says, yeah, get down there. And so made my way down there. There was two perimeters. There was an inner perimeter and an outer perimeter. The outer perimeter, if you were in the inner perimeter as a reporter, you could stay there, but they weren't letting other reporters in. And the outer perimeter, you could stay outside of that. And I had made my way to the outer perimeter, wound up paying a guy in a brownstone a couple of bucks to let me in the front door, went out the back door and got myself into the inner perimeter. And stayed there for several days covering it. And to this day, I can still remember a lot of the things about it. Anytime that I fly, the smell of the jet fuel takes me back to September 11th. I still remember the feeling of having that dust all over my body. The dust felt a lot like talcum powder. It was very, very... it had almost an oily feel to it and had a very, very strong smell to it. And I just remember all the people in New York that were more in Midtown. They were just going about their normal days. But down by Ground Zero, people were just walking around like zombies. And they were like that for several days. So definitely want to share your memories, too. 405-608-4377. We want to hear from you on the day that really changed this nation. And we've got a lot of other things we want to talk about this morning. We want you to weigh in. An 11-year-old Edmond girl is arrested, accused of murdering her 15-year-old brother. The latest on that investigation. An Oklahoma City man is arrested, accused of killing his ex-girlfriend despite having a protective order in place. A federal appeals court makes a ruling on what Oklahoma students will be taught about race and sex. If you're a parent, you definitely want to know about this one. Oklahoma House lawmakers say they've reached an agreement on how to address allegations involving inappropriate behavior by one Republican representative. What they're saying and what they're not saying coming up. Diesel prices surging in Oklahoma. How we compare with the rest of the nation. Honoring a fallen firefighter. We'll talk live with the chief of the Wellston Fire Department after one of his firefighters died while battling a massive blaze this week. This happens on First Responder Friday. Plus, we'll be taking your calls and comments at 405-608-4377. But first, your Freedom First News on Freedom 96.9. Edmond police have arrested an 11-year-old girl in connection with a shooting death of her 15-year-old brother. Officers were called to the home near Lapwing Road on Wednesday afternoon and found the boy dead from his injuries. Investigators arrested the girl just before 1 o'clock on Thursday morning. She was booked into the juvenile detention facility on a complaint of second-degree murder. Police have not released the identities of the children or additional details because they are juveniles. Edmond police say their thoughts are with the family as they grieve this tragedy. An Oklahoma City man is under arrest, accused of killing his former girlfriend, who police say had a lifetime protective order against him. Officers found 45-year-old Starla Harp dead inside her apartment on Tuesday afternoon. Investigators say Harp's son discovered her body and called police. According to court documents, the suspect admitted that he violated the protective order and went to Harp's apartment on Saturday. He told investigators they argued and he eventually punched her and choked her multiple times until she died, and then he stabbed her body. Police arrested the 43-year-old on a complaint of murder. Formal charges have not yet been filed. A federal appeals court has revived Oklahoma's law restricting how race and sex can be taught in K through 12 public schools. The court rejected arguments that House Bill 1775 violates free speech rights or is too vague. The law prohibits teaching that people are inherently superior, racist, or oppressive because of their race or sex, or that individuals are responsible for their actions committed by people of the same race or sex. The ruling also says the law does not prevent teachers from teaching historical events like the Tulsa Race Massacre or Osage murders. Oklahoma House lawmakers say they've reached an agreement on how to address allegations involving Republican Representative Danny Williams. After roughly 13 hours of closed-door meetings, the bipartisan House Rules Committee agreed on recommendations concerning Williams' workplace behavior. The details remain confidential, but the recommendations will be presented to Speaker Kyle Hilbert and discussed publicly on September 24th. Williams has not commented on the latest hearings, but previously said that he expected to be fully exonerated. Oklahoma flags are flying at half-staff this morning to honor a volunteer firefighter who died while battling a wildfire in Lincoln County. Governor Kevin Stitt ordered all flags on state property to be lowered at sunset on Friday to honor Joe Flake of Wellston Fire Department. Officials say Flake suffered a medical emergency while fighting a large fire on Monday and then later died from his injuries. Flake had joined the department just 4 months ago after retiring as a truck driver. Governor Kevin Stitt praised Flake for answering the call to serve his community and offered prayers to his family and fellow firefighters. This is particularly tragic. Mr. Flake had just recently retired and wanted to spend his retirement serving his community. Just a genuinely good man. Todd Beasley is the fire chief in Wellston. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. I know this hits you particularly hard. You and I have known each other for years now. In fact, you had called me on Monday while you were in the ambulance riding with him. I could tell this really, really shook you up. Kind of tell me about the impact that it's having on you and your guys.
Well, you know, we get on those trucks and respond to calls, and in the back of our mind, we always know there's that chance that we won't come back. But we also, I don't know if complacency is the correct word to use, but, you know, I think maybe we become a little complacent with that thought. And then it reaches out and touches you. And it's had a significant impact on our department and our community. And Joe was a very good man. In the short time that we knew him at the fire department, he worked his tail off when he was there at the station and on calls.
Joe was only there for 4 months, but when you're training somebody, especially as a firefighter, you guys get real close real quick. Tell me a bit about Joe. What kind of guy is he?
Well, he came to us, and as you mentioned, he'd retired as a truck driver. He didn't seem to me like a fellow that wanted to sit around, and he pretty much has told us that, and that he wanted to do something that served his community, and he wanted to give back. And I think that folks that step up and have a heart for service, I think that speaks volumes to the character of person that they are, that they're willing to give of their time and sacrifice for their community.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who busted his butt his whole life to build a living, to have a family, have a house, to do all the right things so that when he retired, at least in theory, he can kick back and relax. But he said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, I'm going to volunteer in a place that I'm needed, in a way that I'm needed, and I want to save lives. I want to make a difference.
Absolutely, yes. And that's that. Like I said, in the 4 months that we became familiar with him and knew him, That was exactly what we saw every time we were around him at the station.
And this is surprising because even though he was retired, he's not a particularly old guy. He looked like he was in good shape. There's no indication something like this would happen.
No. It was a shock to us there at the scene where we were working. We weren't out on the front line of the fire. Joe was operating our tanker for us that day, along with another firefighter. And myself and a deputy chief, we were at a house that had the fire had passed, but had caused some damage to the house, and we were monitoring the home. And Joe and our other firefighter had came over to assist us, and we were working to remove some siding from the house when Joe's medical emergency occurred. So it was a surprise.
Fortunately, in a case when something like this happens, I mean, all you guys are very, very well trained on how to care for somebody who is in crisis like that. You guys did all you could.
Yeah, as soon as he collapsed, we immediately made a Mayday call and began care for Joe, provided care right there at the scene, and then got into the ambulance as quickly as possible.
And again, you called me from the ambulance, and I could tell in your voice you didn't think things were going to end well.
No, I've been in been in this business for time. Spent 18 years working on an ambulance, and I was concerned from the moment there at the scene. So
Monday was a really hot day. You guys are in full turnout gear. You're fighting this massive wildfire. You guys take precautions, but I know a bunch of firefighters, and I know that sometimes when the adrenaline is going and you're eager to help people and you're eager to fight that fire, sometimes y'all put your own health needs behind the needs of the people that you're serving.
Absolutely. You know, again, it's that hard for service, you know, when we're put in those situations, our primary focus becomes taking care of our community and the folks that need us. You know, they teach us, and you know this, Aaron, as well as anybody else. You know, we have to take care of ourselves first, so that we are able to take care of the public. But when you're in the heat of the moment, taking care of who you're there to help kind of overshadows everything sometimes.
Yeah. It's one thing to say it and to hear it. It's a totally different thing to actually do it, because you're right. When you've got a heart for service, you want to help. And if that means pushing yourself, you push yourself. And sometimes I think we forget to take a step back and make sure that we're doing okay. How are you going to remember Joe? What legacy does he leave behind?
Well, I will remember the impact that he had on us in the time that he was with us there at the fire department, his heart for service, his sense of humor, his not sit still attitude, and you know, I know his he has a wonderful family, and my prayers and is obviously with them. And as the fire department, we want to do all that we can to support them.
Oh, I appreciate you talking to me this morning. I know this was not easy to talk publicly about something like this, and I can hear the emotion in your voice, man. So I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for Joe's family, and I'll be praying for everybody at the Wellston Fire Department, everybody in Wellston right now, because it's tough for you guys, and I get it, man.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You bet. If you need anything, give me a call, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. Like we mentioned in the newscast, Edmond police have arrested an 11-year-old girl in the shooting death of her 15-year-old brother. Officers found the boy dead on Wednesday afternoon at a home near Lapwing Road. The girl was arrested early on Thursday and booked into a detention center on a complaint of second-degree murder. Police are withholding additional details right now because both children are juveniles, but this is tragic on so many levels. Here we've got a young man who lost his life. A little girl is facing charges. Her life is forever changed, and a family is left to grieve. Everything about this story is just tragic. We'll talk a bit about this after the break. Specifically, I want to get into what happens next, and I'd love to have you weigh in on this one. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the conversation. 405-608-4377. It's 66 degrees, mostly sunny at 721. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic. Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out. Freedom Traffic got some construction issues causing delays. Danforth between Santa Fe and Kelly in Edmond. May and Northwest Expressway eastbound I-44 at Klassen. Buckle up and drive careful.
When it comes to freedom, size matters. Your 100,000-watt voice of freedom. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom96.9.com and on the Freedom app.
You know, new Ford F-Series trucks have been the best-selling trucks in America for 49 years, nearly a half century. Now at Vance Country Ford in Guthrie, you'll find new Ford trucks of every model, color, and price, each shown on our website with the lowest estimated monthly payment. You'll also see every discount, rebate, and incentive. Simply go to VanceAutoGroup.com to shop and save. On our website, you'll also see hundreds of new Fords and read about our lifetime engine, transmission, and other powertrain components guarantee, free with each purchase. One you'll appreciate once your manufacturer's warranty ends. Free with each purchase. One you're going to appreciate when your manufacturer's warranty ends. And it's good as long as you own your vehicle. Shop new Ford trucks in Guthrie at Vance Country Ford, 10 minutes north of Edmond on I-35, or go to VanceAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details on lifetime guarantee with approved credit.
John Vance Auto Group.
Hey, I'm here with Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, what makes ICS the top choice for concrete floors?
At ICS, we use polyurea coatings. It's four times stronger than traditional epoxy. They're resistant to scratches, oil stains, and even UV fading, making them ideal for garages, patios, or even commercial spaces. Plus, they come with a lifetime warranty for homeowners.
Now that's some tough stuff. So how do these coatings hold up in Oklahoma's crazy weather?
Man, they're built for it. Crack resistant and able to handle extreme heat or cold. And the best part, our polyurea cures in hours, so your floor is ready the next day with no downtime.
Wow, fast and durable. That's a winning combo. What's the first step for listeners?
Just give us a call for a free, no-obligation estimate, and we'll customize the solution for your space.
All right, guys, don't wait. Transform your floors with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or visit icsconcretecoatings.com for your free estimate today.
Foundation Church is launching in Mustang, Oklahoma. We are built on Jesus, growing together, and making an impact. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. and be part of what God is building. Visit foundationchurch.live for more details.
The Republican ad war has begun. The Iranians are looking to respond to what we're doing to the Strait of Hormuz. It's a wild weekend news, and I'm here to cover it for you live, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on Freedom 96.9. It's Eric Erickson here. Tune in weekdays 11 to 2. I'll cover the news, give you my opinion, and take your phone calls at 877-973-7425 as we spread freedom all across Oklahoma.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good Friday morning, September 11th, 2026. 68 degrees outside right now under mostly sunny skies at 725. Well, an 11-year-old Edmond girl is facing second-degree murder complaints after police say her 15-year-old brother was shot and killed. Officers found the boy dead on Wednesday afternoon at a home on Lapwing Road. The girl was arrested early Thursday and taken to a juvenile detention center. Police are releasing very few details because the case does involve children. This is tragic on every possible level. Here you've got a teenage boy killed at such a young age. You've got a little girl whose life will forever be changed. And you've got a grieving family struggling to find answers and make sense out of something that's just so incredibly senseless. Since the facts of this case are still developing, I don't really want to speculate on what happened, what led up to the shooting, or even how an 11-year-old girl got her hands on this gun. Instead, let's talk about what happened next. And if you want to weigh in, certainly want to hear from you on this one. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377, if you want to be part of the show. This is an horrific outcome, but before debating punishment, the real question is what Oklahoma law allows when a person is accused of murder and she's only 11 years old. So what exactly does Oklahoma law allow prosecutors to do when an 11-year-old is accused of murder? And can an 11-year-old be tried as an adult in Oklahoma? The answer is no. So let's start with the uncertainty. Police have made the arrest, but the arrest is not finding of guilt at this point. We still don't know exactly what the circumstances are surrounding the shooting, what led up to it, or whether the shooting was honestly even intentional at this point. The age here is extremely important. At just 11 years old, this child will be treated much differently under Oklahoma law than, say, a teenager would if accused of murder. Oklahoma's laws that automatically move older juveniles into adult proceedings generally begin at 13 years old. So, for example, a 13-year-old or 14-year-old or 15-year-old charged with first-degree murder can be subject to adult treatment with certain avenues for certification as a youthful offender or a juvenile. So don't assume that the 11-year-old is going to be tried as an adult here. The Oklahoma statute specifically addressing adult treatment for murder apply only to older children, 13 and over. They don't establish the same adult prosecution framework for an 11-year-old. So the juvenile system is focused much differently from the adult system. If a case proceeds in juvenile court, the court considers the child's conduct and the appropriate disposition, I guess, within the juvenile system rather than simply applying the adult criminal sentencing structure. And you kind of have to, because as an 11-year-old, do you really understand the ramifications, the consequences of killing somebody? Do you even understand the permanence of death? Probably not. Do you fully understand right versus wrong at 11 years old? Probably not. I'm sure that she understands that it's wrong to kill her brother, but does she fully understand the consequences of what happened? I'm going to guess no. Even detention has specific rules for very young children. Oklahoma law says a child 12 years old or younger generally cannot be placed in a juvenile detention facility unless alternatives have been exhausted, the child is accused of a felony-level offense, which in this case she was, and a risk assessment indicates that detention is necessary. And that would be based on, is she a danger to herself or other people? That makes detention decision pretty significant here, because we're talking about an 11-year-old who's accused of a homicide. The court has to balance public safety with the special protections that Oklahoma law provides to very young children. The second-degree murder complaint is not really the final word here. Prosecutors will still have to determine what charges, if any, should ultimately be filed and what evidence supports those charges. There's also certain constitutional protections that are in play here. Being 11 doesn't eliminate the child's right to due process, an attorney, or other protections that are afforded to juveniles accused of such serious offenses. We still have a whole bunch we want to talk about this morning. We definitely want you to weigh in on this one. An Oklahoma City man is arrested, accused of killing his ex-girlfriend. How the case raises questions about the effectiveness of protection orders. Plus, we'll be taking your calls and comments at 405-608-4377. 68 degrees under mostly sunny skies at 729. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brobeck on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. House Speaker Mike Johnson says this year's midterm election is the most important ever held. The Supreme Court ruled against a Trump-backed Missouri congressional map from being used in November's midterm election. Police in New York City say the security will be massive for today's 25th 9/11 commemoration ceremonies. The National Park Service honors those who lost their lives on Flight 93 during the 9/11 attacks. Speaking in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, Superintendent of the Flight 93 National Memorial, Stephen Clark, discussed the importance of teaching 9/11 after the terrorists brought on such horror.
Never forget, it's an easy phrase, but really, what does it mean? It means being committed to one another in any way we can to teach.
From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute. Nothing tests a parent like watching their child suffer from an injury someone else caused. I've sat across from parents who felt guilty, overwhelmed, and completely lost, not knowing what to do next or whether they even had a right to pursue a claim on their child's behalf. Let me be clear, you do. When a child is injured due to someone else's negligence, Oklahoma law provides for important protections. And because children are still developing, injuries that seem minor can have long-term consequences that don't fully show up for years. Cases involving injured children require special care, careful documentation, and a long-term view. Court approval is often required to settle a minor's claim, which is another reason for having the right legal team. Your child deserves someone fighting for their future. Call McIntyre Law at 777-7000 or visit us at McIntyreLaw.com. Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9. And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. Oklahoma City police have arrested a man in connection with the death of a woman found inside an apartment Tuesday. Officers responding found 45-year-old Starla Harp with injuries consistent with a homicide. Investigators identified Marcus McKinney as a suspect and later found him where he was taken into custody. He was booked on a murder complaint and the case continues. A man's recovering from non-life-threatening injuries after police say an argument between two neighbors ended with a shooting in northeast Oklahoma City. Officers responded to an apartment complex where investigators say the two men continued an argument that had started in a nearby neighborhood. Police say one of the men pulled a gun and shot the other in the knee. The suspected shooter was arrested at the scene and booked into the county jail on assault and battery charges. No names or additional details have currently been released. City officials in Edmond are launching a new monthly program designed to connect parents of children with mental health challenges to resources and other families. The first parent cafe was held Wednesday at Edmond First United Methodist Church after a city assessment found parents needed additional support. Officials say the goal is to create a non-judgmental place where parents can share experiences and find help. The cafe is open to all Edmond residents and will be held the second Wednesday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. with dinner being served at 5. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Firefighters run toward danger every day, but the hardest battles aren't always on the fire ground. Mental health challenges affect Oklahoma firefighters at alarming rates. Stress, trauma, and long hours take a toll, and too many go without support. The Oklahoma State Firefighters Association is taking action through our No One Fights Alone campaign, providing critical resources, support, and funding to help firefighters get the help they need. Supporting mental health isn't optional. It's essential. If you're a firefighter struggling or you know one who is, speak up, reach out. Help is available. Strength isn't doing it alone. It's knowing when to ask for help. For more information, visit us at osfa.info.
Don't miss the savings at H&H Shooting Sports this month. I'm Lee Matthews. The Smith & Wesson M&P Shield Plus 9mm bundle with six total mags and a Save Your Range bag is on sale for $444.99. The Beretta A300 Ultima 12-gauge shotgun, now just $849.99. And you've got to check out the great deals in the safe department, where you can take 15% off all Liberty Colonial Series safes. Only at H&H Shooting Sports, Oklahoma's headquarters for guns and gear, just off I-40 and Meridian.
Come celebrate America's 250th birthday with us at Rustic Rebel Barn Sales this Friday and Saturday from 9 to 5. We have traveled through 8 states and over 3,400 miles and brought back items from Roy Rogers Estate Sale in Apple Valley, California, antique swords, and first edition books dating back to the 1700s. We will also have primitives, antique farm implements, and many other items. Vendors will include the Pottery Gals, Stitched by the Heart, Coca-Cola Collective, and a new vendor featuring reimagined clothing, woodworking, and more. Mount Zion will have concessions and a bake sale. Don't miss Rustic Rebel's Barn Sale this Friday and Saturday from 9 to 5, 4011 North Radio Road in El Reno.
Freedom.
Weather.
Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today, expect patchy fog leading to reduced visibility in the morning, giving way to partial sunshine later on. The high will reach 93. Tonight will be clear, warm, and humid with a low of 74. Tomorrow will start with some sun, then turn cloudy with the possibility of a stray thunderstorm. Remaining hot and breezy in the morning, the temperature will peak at 97. Sunday will bring breezy and hot conditions with abundant sunshine, also reaching a high of 97 with your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. 68 degrees outside under mostly sunny skies at 736. Hang on just a second. Let me grab that real quick. Hi, Freedom 96.9.
Hey, Aaron, good morning. This is Edna in the front office.
Hey, Edna.
Remember our totally paperless policy?
Yeah,
well, that worked great until someone had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, gonna need paper in there. All right, Edna, I'll get right on that. Thanks so much. Let's check out those Freedom First News headlines now on Freedom 96.9. Edmond police have arrested an 11-year-old girl in connection with the shooting death of her 15-year-old brother. Officers were called to a home near Lapwing Road on Wednesday afternoon and found the boy dead from his injuries. Investigators arrested the girl just before 1 o'clock on Thursday morning. She was booked into the juvenile detention center on a complaint of second-degree murder. Because the case involves kids, police are not releasing the children's identities or additional details. Investigators have not said what led to the shooting. An Oklahoma City man is accused of killing his former girlfriend despite a lifetime protective order against him. Police found 45-year-old Starla Harb dead inside of her apartment on Tuesday afternoon after her son discovered her body. According to court documents, the suspect admitted to violating the protective order and going to Harb's apartment on Saturday. He told investigators they argued and he eventually punched and choked her until she died, and then he stabbed her body. 43-year-old was arrested on a complaint of murder. Formal charges have not yet been filed, so we're not releasing his name just yet. Oklahoma County Sheriff Tommy Johnson III is asking a judge to rule in his favor in a dispute over who is responsible for transporting jail inmates to the court. Johnson argues the state law makes the jail responsible, even though the trust governing document specifically exempts it from inmate transportation. The trust disagrees, saying that the sheriff's office remains responsible after Johnson ended its contract to provide the service. A judge has ordered the sheriff to continue transporting inmates while the case is being decided. Johnson is now seeking a summary judgment. Oklahoma House lawmakers say they've reached an agreement on how to address allegations involving Republican Representative Danny Williams. About 13 hours of closed-door meetings, the bipartisan House Rules Committee agreed on recommendations concerning Williams' workplace behavior. The details remain confidential for now. The recommendations will be presented to House Speaker Kyle Hilbert and discussed publicly on September 24th. Williams has not commented on the latest hearings. He previously said that he expected to be fully exonerated. The Oklahoma Ethics Commission is also investigating possible conflicts of interest involving Williams. Well, diesel prices are surging in Oklahoma, with statewide average now at around $5.53 a gallon. Nationwide, diesel has topped $6 a gallon for the first time. That's especially significant here in Oklahoma, where diesel is critical to trucking, agriculture, and other industries. The increase is being driven by disruptions to global supplies, including reduced shipping through the Strait of Hormuz amid a conflict involving Iran. Crude oil has now topped $100 per barrel, raising concerns that fuel prices could remain high. Oklahoma flags are at half staff this morning to honor a volunteer firefighter who died while battling a wildfire at Lincoln County. Governor Kevin Stitt ordered the flags on state property lowered through sunset Friday to honor Joe Flake of the Wellston Fire Department. Officials say Flake suffered a medical emergency while fighting a large fire on Monday, then later died from his injuries. He had joined the department just 4 months ago after retiring as a truck driver. Stitt praised Flake for answering the call to serve his community and offered condolences to his family and his fellow firefighters. Well, a federal appeals court has revived Oklahoma's law restricting how race and sex can be taught in schools. The court rejected arguments that House Bill 1775 violates free speech rights or is too vague. The law prohibits teaching that someone is inherently superior or racist or oppressive simply because of their race or sex, or responsible for actions committed by others of the same race or sex. The court says the law does not prevent teachers from discussing historical events, including the Tulsa Race Massacre or the Osage Murders. Let's talk about this one a little bit because it's important, especially if you're a parent. 405-608-4377 if you want to weigh in on this one. 405-608-4377. Is there a difference between teaching students about racism and teaching students that they themselves are inherently racist? Can we teach the ugly parts of American and Oklahoman history without assigning collective guilt to today's students? Should a child be held morally responsible for something committed by someone who shares their race or sex, oftentimes someone who lived generations before they were even born? I think the court got it right here. We should teach kids about American history, including the darkest, ugliest chapters of American history, and there's plenty of them. But there's a difference between teaching a child that racism existed and telling a child that he is inherently racist simply because of the color of his skin. If we're serious about judging people based on the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, that principle has to apply to everybody. A child does not inherently inherit guilt because of his skin color. If a student has done nothing wrong, why should that child be told that he is inherently racist simply because of the color of his skin? You want to weigh in on this one? We definitely want to hear from you. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial. 405-608-4377. That turns the principle of equality on its head, this whole thing. We've spent generations trying to move away from judging people by skin color. The argument here is that now schools should not replace one form of racial judgment with another. Deanne is joining us this morning from Midwest City. Deanne, it's good to hear from you this morning.
Hi, you too. Hey, Aaron, I don't know what does inherently mean? Does it mean like congenitally?
Just born with it, yep. You're just born racist because of the color of your skin.
It seems like you'd have to have a few more qualifying factors, doesn't it?
Yeah, you would think so. But again, we've got some schools, not necessarily here in Oklahoma, but some schools that are teaching kids that they should be feeling that quote-unquote white guilt, that they should be feeling privilege because of slavery and the sins of our forefathers and that kind of a thing.
Well, when you and I were on welfare, I didn't feel very privileged, did you?
Not even a little bit. I'm working four jobs right now to put a roof over the head. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I'm not feeling a whole lot of privilege, but to teach kids at a young age that they are somehow less than.
They've inherited it.
Right, right.
It can't be changed.
Right.
There aren't any. Well, in that case, we don't need any social programs because you can't be fixed. That's what I like.
That's a valid point. Let's go ahead and go with that.
Okay.
Thanks, Deanne. I appreciate you. You have a great weekend.
Okay.
Deanne brings up a good point here. You really can't fight racism by teaching kids that race determines their character. If the message is that one racial group is inherently oppressive and another one is inherently oppressed, you're still making assumptions about individuals based on race. And at the same time, you're teaching a certain class of people that they're victims rather than teaching them to stand up. It doesn't make any sense. Imagine saying the same thing to a child because of the color of his skin, but reversing the races here. Most people would immediately recognize just how offensive and discriminatory that would be. The underlying principle shouldn't change depending upon what racial group you're talking about. Mark is joining us now from Fairview. Good morning, Mark.
Morning. I think what a big part of the problem is they confuse racism with the content of their character, because a lot of people that are, you know, claiming racism against them haven't stopped and looked in the mirror to see what kind, you know, their character, the things that they've done, you know, in the past. They're being judged for what they've done,
right,
not for the color of their skin or anything else. But they don't like that, because now that puts the onus back on them. They have to take responsibility for what they did, and they don't want to do that.
Right. And I think in many cases, too, we've created an entire generation of victims, of people who believe that they can
exactly say
or do certain things because of whatever their ancestors had gone through. And
that's just it. When you give somebody that victim mentality, then it's always somebody else's fault. It's never yours.
Right.
And you can do whatever you want, but you can't be blamed for it because, well, this happened to my ancestors, so this is just the way it is.
And that's why you're responsible for yourself. Right. I act the way that I act because of the racism that I perceive because of what happened to my ancestors 100-plus years ago. Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
That's the key word.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mark, thanks for joining us this morning. And thank you for tuning in to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Hope you have yourself a terrific weekend.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out, Freedom Traffic. Got some construction issues causing delays. Danforth between Santa Fe and Kelly in Edmond. May and Northwest Expressway eastbound I-44 at Klassen. Buckle up and drive careful.
Knowledge is power. Combine that with 100,000 watts of power, and you got the most important talk station in Oklahoma. We're the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Hey there, I'm here chatting with Stephen Smith with ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, ICS has been serving the community for over 50 years. What's the secret behind your longevity?
It's our family-owned roots. We treat every project like it's for our own home, using top-tier Pentek polyurea coatings that are durable, stylish, and built to last. Our focus is on quality and making customers happy.
That's a legacy to be proud of. So what can homeowners or businesses expect when they work with ICS?
It's a seamless experience. We start with a free estimate, help you pick from a range of colors and finishes, and install in just one day. Your floor is ready for use the next morning. No more long waits.
Well, that's a service you can trust. So how do folks get started?
Just reach out and we'll take care of the rest with our lifetime warranty backing you up.
Well, get a floor that lasts with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or head to icsconcretecoatings.com for a free estimate today.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Pollard Farms' 29th annual female production sale is Saturday, September 19th at noon in Wacomas. Pollard Farms will offer 107 registered Angus lots, including young fall pairs, fall yearling open heifers, spring open heifers, donor dams, spring-bred cows with calves, and more. This is your chance to own Pollard Farms' prominent genetics. The Pollard Farms 29th annual female production sale, Saturday, September 19th at noon at the ranch in Wacomas. View the sale book at mcsauction.com or pollardfarms.com.
Hi there, it's Cliff Davis. Don't forget to check out our show on Freedom 96.9, Saturdays 3 to 4 p.m. and Sundays 4 to 5 p.m. The Cliff Davis Show, live entertainment talk radio, coast to coast.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
The IRGC is a spokesperson, the parliament is a spokesperson, and they also have a president who came out and essentially said, we'd like to go back to the MOU. What does Secretary of State Marco Rubio say about that?
Well, look, I mean, that ship in many ways has sailed, no pun intended, with regard to the Straits. At the core issue here is they're never going to have a nuclear weapon. I have to remind people that continuously. This is all about the fact that they want to possess a nuclear weapon and threaten the world with it, and we'll never allow that to happen.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Friday, September 11th, 2026. We're recognizing the 25th anniversary of the September 11th attacks on New York City. Wouldn't mind hearing from you as far as where you were on that day. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. On September 11th, I was actually at Ground Zero. I worked for a station in New York. I was in Midtown working on a different story when the first plane hit. I'd called my boss and asked him if he wanted me to go down there, and he said no. The national news is all over it. They were going wall-to-wall coverage with the national news on the first plane hitting. At that point, we didn't know that it was a terrorist attack. And so I continued working until the second plane hit. And once the second plane hit, I called my boss and said, hey, I'm going down. And he said, yeah, get down there. And so made my way down to ground zero, was able to get inside the inner circle there and spent several days there. And a few things really stood out to me that I still remember. It was I was obviously very concerned about my family, like everybody else was throughout the country, in terms of how widespread are these attacks going to be? When are they going to stop? We didn't know at that point. And trying to get a hold of my wife was difficult because back then cell phone technology is not what it is now. So I was down near ground zero, had my bag phone with me, and a lot of the cell phone towers were on top of the World Trade Center. They were damaged as a result of the attack. And there were a lot of people who were using their cell phones at the time. So out of every 10, 12, 15 phone calls that you made, you might get through once. So I was trying to do news feeds to different stations throughout the country while also trying to contact my wife. And there was a certain panic that I felt because I didn't know that my wife and kids were okay. Another thing that really stands out is just before Building 7 collapsed, there was a news conference that the police were holding, and we were all getting ready for that news conference. And at that time, we knew that there was a no-fly zone over New York City, and we heard jets fly overhead, and all of us in the news kind of looked up at the same time. And at the same time as that happened, and it turns out those were fighter jets that were patrolling, but at the same time as that happened, Building 7 collapsed. And I can still remember feeling the rumbling from that. And there was still a lot of smoke in the air from the towers collapsing. And then the smoke just started swirling around us. And we all started running. And I remember thinking, am I running to the attack? Am I running away from the attack? I didn't know, because we thought that it was another attack. And it turns out it wasn't. The building had just collapsed. But there were a lot of memories that I still hold from that. I remember the feel of the powder that was all over me and all over everybody at that point. And it kind of felt like talcum powder. It had almost an oily feel to it and had a very distinct smell to it. There was sort of a smell of jet fuel, but jet fuel and something else kind of a thing. And I can't quite put my finger on exactly what that smell was. But these days when I fly and I smell the jet fuel, it still takes me back to September 11th. So wouldn't mind hearing your stories about what your memories are from that day that really changed America. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the conversation. Going to be a pretty nice day today. We're going to see some patchy fog throughout the day, giving way to sunny skies today. High temperatures in the 90s. Then tonight, we're going to see partly cloudy skies with a low of 74. On Saturday, partly cloudy, high going up to 97 degrees. We might see a couple of rain showers throughout the day, too, on Saturday. Then on Sunday, breezy and hot with a high of 97 degrees. It is 68 degrees right now under mostly sunny skies. Really pleasant day this morning at 7:53 in the morning. Well, an Oklahoma City man is accused of killing his former girlfriend who had a lifetime protective order against him. Police found 45-year-old Starla Harp dead in her apartment on Tuesday. Court documents say the suspect admitted to breaking the protective order, going into her apartment and choking her during an argument until she died. He also admitted to stabbing her body. The 43-year-old was arrested on a murder complaint. Here's the problem with cases like this. At the end of the day, a victim protective order is just a piece of paper. And if a person is willing to commit the crime of murder, they're probably also willing to violate a court order, too. So what do we do to protect victims of domestic violence? We want to hear from you on this one, too, especially if you've ever been a victim of domestic violence. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial, 405-608-4377. So what exactly is a victim protection order, or a VPO? A VPO is a court order that creates a legally enforceable prohibition, and Oklahoma law gives police the authority to arrest anybody who knowingly violates a properly served order. The problem is the VPO doesn't physically prevent a determined and violent person from reaching a victim. A protective order is just that. It's a court order, but it's not a force field. It's not some type of a magical block that can stop somebody from attacking or killing you. It does tell a dangerous person what he can and cannot do. The question is, what do we do when he decides that he's going to ignore that order and go ahead and do something anyhow. Maybe the next generation of domestic violence protection needs to be more than just a piece of paper. If somebody already has demonstrated that he's willing to violate one of these court orders, maybe we need technology, tighter bond conditions, and immediate consequences that can actually keep him away from the victim. I'm just not sure exactly what that looks like yet. The uncomfortable reality, though, that we've got to face here is that a protective order can tell an abuser, hey, stay away, but it can't physically stop somebody from walking through a door, getting into a car, or attacking a person. And in a case like this, that distinction can be a matter of life and death. A VPO has some level of legal teeth. Under Oklahoma law, if police have reasonable cause to believe that a properly served emergency or final protective order has been violated, they're required to arrest that person. They don't have there's no option. You must arrest that person. But the problem here is that enforcement is reactive. A victim generally has to survive long enough to report the violation and have law enforcement respond. That's the fundamental limitation worth discussing here. The order punishes a violation, but it doesn't necessarily prevent the act from happening in the first place. Oklahoma law does allow courts to impose additional protection. So when an alleged domestic violence offender is facing release on bond, for example, the courts can consider the victim's safety and impose another protective order or certain restrictions on that defendant. One alternative is GPS monitoring. That's used right now. Oklahoma law does allow judges under some circumstances to require an active real-time 24-hour GPS monitor for somebody who presents a demonstrated risk of violence. The system can alert authorities, and it can potentially alert the victim if that person gets too close. But we also know that GPS monitors aren't a perfect system. People can cut off monitors. Obviously, if that happens, hopefully there would be an alert also sent out to police and to the victim. Or if the person gets too close to the victim, there can be an alert set out. But that also means that police have to get there quickly, or the victim has to get away quickly. It's probably better than nothing at all, but it certainly isn't a perfect fix. In a case like any VPO, though, honestly, I would prefer seeing anybody who receives a VPO to also have a 24-hour GPS monitor on them, so that police can be notified should that person get too close to the victim, or warn the victim that that person is too close. It seems like a common sense idea to me. Oklahoma has strengthened that approach a little bit. Senate Bill 1325, I believe, that'll take effect on November 1st. That requires GPS monitoring for certain defendants that are charged with domestic abuse by, like, the more serious cases, domestic abuse by strangulation, or domestic abuse involving a dangerous or deadly weapon, or following a prior domestic abuse adjudication, or when done in front of children, that kind of a thing, when released on bail. That's a plus, but I don't see why we don't do it for everybody who receives a VPO. And that's an important policy question. If somebody has demonstrated that a court order is not enough to keep him away, should the system move up from a don't go near her to a we're going to know exactly where you are at all times? Another potential tool would be stricter bond conditions. So instead of simply releasing somebody with a no contact condition, courts should consider the person's history of violence, any previous violations, any potential threat when determining conditions of release. The key question shouldn't be whether they're useful. They are. The question is whether, in and of itself, it'll stop somebody. Well, thanks so much for listening. Have yourself a great weekend. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.